Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 9. I'm going to read verses 9 through 20 because this is a whole section about the vision of the Son of Man. There's a couple that I want to focus on, but I want to read that whole section to begin with. Revelation 1, starting at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto
Ephesus,
and Smyrna, and Pergamos, and unto
Thyatira,
and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And I want to bring your focus to verses, the last part of verse 17, and then verse 18. And I'm going to reread those two parts in the Passion Translation. Because this is, in this part of the scripture, this is where Jesus was speaking out. And it says, don't yield to fear. I am the beginning, and I am the end, the living one. I was dead, but now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. So Jesus is telling us in scripture there, he holds the keys. He holds the keys. He took them back. And when Dad was preaching the other week, he was talking about the cornerstone. I don't know if you guys remember that. He was over there in the corner, and he was talking about the cornerstone and Christians, and that we've been set free, and that so many people are still living bound, even though they've already been set free. And while he was speaking that morning, I started to receive more revelation on the keys and how we as Christians have been given the keys to the kingdom. And when I envisioned a kingdom, what I saw in that particular moment was kind of like a old-fashioned palace that a king and queen would live in. Like, that's what I pictured as a kingdom at that point. A huge area with all kinds of castles and gates and doors and secret tunnels. And what I saw was that we had the keys to all the doors in the kingdom. That was the picture that I envisioned in that particular moment. And I shared a little bit about that revelation one Wednesday night. But I've been meditating on it because I knew there was more that I hadn't received yet. I knew there was more to it. And have you ever eaten a piece of your favorite cake or pie or dessert, whatever it is, and you kind of slow down and you take your bite slowly and you just savor the flavor of it? You want to enjoy every little bit. Have you ever done that? When it's something you really like? Well, that was my picture of what meditating on the Word is like. That we take time to enjoy it, to savor it, so that we can get every last drop out of it, because we don't want to miss out on something that God has for us.
Right.
Just like you didn't want to miss out on that delicious whatever it was that you were eating. It's the same way with meditating. Or that's how I envision it. So back to the message. And what Dad actually talked about a little last Sunday night as well, he said that God had given him a word years ago that a locked door is no obstacle to someone who has the key. A locked door is no obstacle to someone who has the key. And he also told the story, I don't know if you remember, of the man whose father had given him the master key to the church. And he didn't even know that he had. And too often that happens with us as Christians. We've been given things that we don't even know belong to us. And you've got to realize that the story that he was talking about when he got that word about that it's no obstacle for someone who has the key, I was just a young girl at that time. When he was talking about where he used to work, I was a young girl when the Holy Spirit spoke that to him. So it's been 30 plus years. I had never heard him talk about it before. He may have. I don't know. But when he mentioned it that Sunday morning, my spirit grabbed a hold of it because it went right along with what he had been speaking to me. And you see, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word is always true. Whether he spoke it 30 plus years ago or 2,000 years ago, or whatever it is, or whenever it was that he told it to you, it does not change. It's still true today. So when he said that, my spirit man grabbed a hold of it. Because that's something the Spirit has spoken to him. And the Spirit speaks the exact same way. And then, I was praying and meditating, and have you ever thought about, do you know why the devil attacks your mind so much? Have you ever noticed that he always attacks your mind? Hey, do you wonder why he attacks your mind so much? It's because he wants to keep you doubting yourself, because he knows that if and when you figure out your identity in Christ and how to use what has been given to you, that there will be no stopping you.
Hallelujah.
He won't have control anymore. He cannot stop you when you get a hold of the identity that you have in Christ and what he has given to you. And I heard something the other day that really resonated with me. It said, if you want to stop an intrusive thought, speak truth the moment that it begins.
Amen.
If you want to stop an intrusive thought, speak truth the moment that it begins. Do you know what truth is? God's word is truth. God's word is truth. And faith is the key that unlocks the door. That was part of the revelation I got. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. And we'll go a little bit deeper into that in a minute. But I want to paint a picture for you, because I want you guys to really see the revelation of this for yourself, because it's imperative that it becomes personal. God's word has to become personal to you in order for it to have an effect on your life.
Amen.
It's got to be personal. And you see, when we accept Christ into our hearts, there's an exchange that takes place. We are trading spiritual death for spiritual life. And remember, Jesus said, we already read it in that scripture, I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. Jesus holds the keys.
Thank you.
And easy question here. Where does God live? In heaven. That's simple. Guess what? Jesus lives there too. I know he's on the inside of you, but that is his home. Heaven is Jesus' home. So I want you guys to imagine with me for just a minute. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to use you as an example.
You go, girl.
Come here. We're going to put you front and center. You don't have to say a word.
Yeah.
I want you to imagine with me. All you guys imagine with me just a minute. That from the exact moment that you got saved, the exact moment, Jesus walks up to you. And he says, "Hey, Brenda." And he gives you his hug and he wraps his arm around you. And he says, "Welcome to the family."
Praise God.
Welcome to the family.
I'll take that.
But not just that. He said, "Here's the key to my house."
Praise the Lord.
Here's the key to my house.
I want
to
go with you.
And he says, now let me show you around. And it's the same way with each and every one of us.
Amen.
At the exact moment that you get saved, Jesus hands you a key.
Yes, amen.
He hands you a key.
Thank you.
It's your key. It belongs to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
He wanted you to have it. He's telling you that my home is now your home.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Not in the future. It's your home now.
Yes, amen.
And faith is that key.
Thank you.
Because everything that belongs to Jesus, you now have access to.
Yes.
Everything that belongs to Jesus, you now have access to. So I want you to picture yourself. Picture yourself holding that key as if it were a real key. Imagine it. You've got to see yourself in this place. Jesus just gave you that key to accomplish anything that you need to accomplish, to get through any door that you need to get through. You have access to heaven right now.
Amen.
Thank you.
And don't just take my word for it or somebody else's word for it. Judge everything that you hear according to Scripture. Judge it according to Scripture. Romans 12:3, it tells us that we have been given a measure of faith. It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And the Passion Translation says the last part of this. It says, "Honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement. And then you will see the true value with an appropriate self-esteem." God has given you a measure of faith, but he also wants you to see your identity through Christ. He wants you to see your identity and who you are. Because when you discover your identity, you begin to walk in purpose in your life. And that measure of faith that he tells us about in that scripture, that measure of faith is the same faith as Jesus has.
Hallelujah.
It's the same faith.
Thank you, Lord.
He's giving us what he has. And it's the same for every believer. Too many times we look at somebody else and they're like, "They've got a lot of faith, and I just don't have any." Well, you can't say you don't have any, because the moment you became a Christian, you were given a measure of faith.
Amen.
It's already yours.
Thank you.
You're holding that key.
Thank you.
So every believer has that same faith that has been measured out to them. And when he gives you the key, he's telling you, "Everything that I have belongs to you now."
Thank you, Lord.
Everything that I have belongs to you now.
Thank you.
When you got married, I'm sure your spouse got a key to your house. And It belongs to you. You have the keys to healing, the keys to financial blessing, the keys to security and a sound mind, and everything else that God's word says you can have.
Thank you, Lord.
You have them. They already belong to you. Matthew 6, 9 and 10, it says, when Jesus was telling us how to pray, he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. We all know that verse. We've heard it many times. But the Passion Translation says it like this. It says, pray like this. Pray like this. Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is fulfilled in heaven. You see, God wants us to use our measure of faith that we've been given as Christians to unlock the things of heaven. He wants us to unlock the things of heaven so that they will manifest in our lives here on earth. You have to unlock them in order for them to be in operation in your life. You already have the key, but it's up to you to unlock them. Because he took back the keys so that we can have victory. Jesus didn't die on the cross for Jesus. He died on the cross for you.
Amen.
He wants you to live a victorious life. Luke 17, 5 and 6. It says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Have you ever thought that yourself? You're praying like, God, just give me more faith. I need more faith to do whatever it is you've called me to do or just to get through the day. I just need more faith. You're not the only one. These were the apostles asking Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You see, take a picture, or take that key that I just handed you, and take a look at it. If you look at the top, you'll notice that there's a mustard seed. There's a mustard seed attached to the top. It's not very big, is it? What did that verse just tell you? It said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Do you think you can scavenge up that little bit?
Yes.
That little bit of faith?
Yes.
Guess what? You don't even have to try. It's already been measured out to you.
Praise God.
It is yours.
Thank you.
God has given it to you. You see, it doesn't take very much faith to operate in the things of God. Jesus has already given you the key. And just like that story that Dad shared about the man who had been given the master key. That is the only key you'll ever need. That key of faith is the only key you will ever need to grab a hold of the things that God has for you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
To walk in every single thing that he has promised you. You don't have to do anything special on your own. He has already provided it. But he's not going to give you more faith. We just have to learn how to develop it. We have to learn how to develop it. We've all been given a measure of faith. And as I was writing this, I pictured developing film. Have you ever seen any movies, or maybe you've done it yourself, how they developed film the old-fashioned way, and they dip it, they take the corner, they dip it in this solution, you know, the different solutions. And to begin with, it's dark, it looks black. And they dip it in that solution and they hang it up, kind of shake it off and hang it up. And it begins to dry and develop into the picture that it's supposed to be. You get a new image. Well, like this. We develop our faith by dipping ourselves into the Word of God.
Amen.
We develop our faith by dipping ourselves into the Word of God. And then faith will turn those dark places in our lives from hope into reality.
Amen.
Faith will turn those dark places from hope into reality. And the more that we develop our faith, the clearer the picture becomes. The more we develop our faith, the clearer the picture becomes. And I kept praying and meditating on this word because I'd already received the word that we have the keys, they're ours. And I'm like, God, why are so many Christians still struggling and still bound by all of the things in this world? Because we all deal with things in life that we're still trying to overcome. We all encounter those things. Nobody's exempt. And I asked, I said, God, why? And I heard just as clearly, he said, they haven't activated their key. They haven't activated their key. You see, when the Holy Spirit reveals something and the mysteries of God, they are so simple yet so profound at the same time. And when I heard that, I instantly pictured a hotel key. You know how the key cards? That key, they have them. They can be used to open any door at any time, but they only work for the ones that they've been activated for. They plug it into that little machine, and they activate it to open whatever door it's supposed to open. And I saw it like this. You see, my key works for me. And your key works for you. Now, we've been given the same key because we've all been given a measure of faith. But it's up to each of us individually to activate it. We have to activate our own key for ourselves. And just like in a hotel, there are some general areas, you know, like the elevator, where everybody's key works. Well, like in that elevator, in those general areas, I can use my faith to help lift you up. But there are other doors that only your key can open. And that's the way I saw it, because my key won't open the door to your room, just like your key won't open the door to my room. We have to activate our own key. And maybe you're asking yourself, how do I do that? Or you might even be thinking, I've already tried it and it didn't work for me. Have you ever prayed about things and you feel like they didn't happen? Or maybe you're just missing it because you didn't do something right? Guess what? True faith never lets go of what God said. True faith never lets go of what God said. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we develop and strengthen our faith, is by the word of God. We activate our faith by hearing what God says, by believing what God says, and by speaking what God says. There's no other way around it. You can pray until you're blue in the face. You can be in church every time that door opens. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to activate and develop your faith, you're going to have to hear what God says, believe what God says, and say what God says. That's up to you. That's how you activate your key. That's how you get through the doors that you come up against. And the revelation that I received was this. If you know that you already have the keys, and when I say that you know, you got to know that you know that you know. Nobody can come up and change your mind. Because if somebody can change your mind about it, You don't know it. But once you know it for yourself, it doesn't matter what somebody says. It doesn't matter what somebody does. You know that you know that you know, and nobody's going to change your mind.
Amen.
And that's the way it's got to be with the things of God. You've got to have that word so deep down inside of you that you know that what when God says something, he's going to do it. That's what faith is. Knowing that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. So if you know that you already have the keys to open any door that you face, and you know how to use them, that means you know how to activate it. Whether it's sickness, insecurities, poverty, and lack, mind problems, fear, I don't know what it is for you. We all deal with different things at different times. But whatever it is for you, it doesn't matter. Because when you know that you have the key, whatever it is that you come up against, or whatever comes up against you, you already have the key for it.
Thank you.
Amen. And you're no longer intimidated by circumstances or obstacles that you face. Because all that is required for you to get through it is to unlock the door. And to unlock the door, you activate your faith.
Thank you.
So all you have to do is unlock the door and walk through it into the promises of God. You walk through it into the promises of God. You don't have to wonder or worry how or when it's going to happen. Because you know that it's already taken care of. When God said, or Jesus said, it's finished, it is finished, it's already finished. So you know that it's taken care of. And you are holding the key to heaven. And you have access to everything there.
Amen.
You have access to everything there.
Amen.
So as we close out tonight, I want you to hold your key for a minute. Because I want this to become real to you. Run your finger over that little mustard seed. It's a tiny little mustard seed. But that measure of faith has been given to you. That key is yours. See yourself holding the key. And say it with me. I hold the key.
I hold the key.
Jesus did it for me.
Jesus did it for me.
Believe it. Whatever it is that you come up against, believe that Jesus did that for you. He has already provided everything that you need for anything that you come up against in this life. And he wants you to live in victory in every area. So I want you to take that key. It's yours to keep. Stick it in your Bible. Use it as a bookmark. Wherever you need a reminder, put it there. Because I want you to see it. Every time you see that, I want you to think, I hold the key. I hold the key to everything that I need. It's yours. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, that you sent your son Jesus to provide a way for us when there was no way. Lord, that he has taken back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And when we accept you, we're given that key so that we can live in victory with him. And I thank you for that, Father. Lord, make that revelation real to each and every one of us tonight. In your holy name.